Thank you, Brother Cowan. You can be seated. We certainly want to give honor to the pastor of this church and First Lady today. Thank God for men and women that will take the burden. And God has chosen the office of pastor, evangelists, teachers, apostles, and prophets for the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body, working of the ministry. And so the ministry is a gift to the church. And I humbly come before you today. Believing God will help us all together in the Word. We're going to start in the book of Job and cover a subject that I think is going to be helpful to us all today. I feel a lot of potential here this afternoon and the men that are sitting here. You're mighty men of God. All of you, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you become a mighty man. Their strength, Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's our potential today as men. And we're going to talk about men today. I'll go and give you my subject. I'm going to talk about the influence of godly men. The influence of godly men. I invited a man today at Walmart. He gave him a church card and told him where the church was at, and he said he had to work on Sundays, but maybe I said every Sunday. He said, well, no, I get some Sundays off. I said, well, you owe it to yourself. And he took the card, and we'll hope he shows up. I practice that everywhere I go. There's a hungry world. The fields are still white and ready to harvest. It's just our perspective, how we see the world around us. I like to see hungry people, hungry for God. The outward attire sometimes doesn't really let you know who they really are. We've had people come to our church that looked hopeless, helpless, and not even interested. I had a man spent 17 years with us that he came, he had hair down to his waist like a woman. His arms were tracked up. He was skin and bones, a full-fledged dope dealer and dope addict. I looked at him. I said, God, what can you do with a man like that when he first came? And he sat through the whole service. He didn't show any emotion. He left and came back another service. And the third service he came back, he had a suit on and a tie, haircut. I didn't even know him. I didn't recognize the man. But not too long after that, we baptized him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was our song leader for 17 years. And God can take the guttermost and reach to the uttermost today. Our world is hungry. There are people that are looking for God. They don't know where to find him. But Bible says we're light and we're salt. We're influence. Salt is very influential. You know when food's been salted and when it hasn't. It's easy to tell the difference right quick. Most of us probably like a little seasoning on our food. It just adds something to it. That's why Jesus used the comparison of the church being salt of the earth. We're the influence around us. We're going to go to the book of Job, and I've got a lot to cover, and I probably won't get through this lesson I've taught. I taught this lesson before, and I'm going to use some notes here. I've got a lot to cover. I write out a lot of scriptures. That helps me memorize them, but I've got more than I can write on pages today. I've got some already typed out. That helps me a lot. And what a man Job was. What a man. God says so about him. Verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, which was just along the west side of the Arabian desert, close to Chaldea, and whose name was Job. That man, this is what God says about him. That man was perfect. That means a mature man, a man that could think and reason and lead. And he was a perfect and upright. God saw him as a man that walked right, talked right, acted right, done right, calls him upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He shunned evil. I say, what a man. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So God has this man on trial, on display, so to speak. And I found this about God. He will either deliver you from trials, or he will walk with you through the trial. He didn't deliver the Hebrew boys. He went in with them in the fire. He didn't deliver Daniel. He went in the lion's den with him. And then there are others that God came on the scene and moved. And and just delivered them. God just done a miraculous thing. But whether you're going through a trial or suffering any kind of trial, God's with you. Yes. He's working things out in our life. This man was facing the awfulest trial I guess a man could face. According to Bible theology, this was the oldest book of the Bible. And written even before the law. I don't know. That's just what theologians say. But I'm glad it's in here. I'm glad God chose to put it in there because it's in samples for us to learn from and glean from. We'll read about Job again in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 14. God talks about judgment upon Jerusalem here through the prophet Ezekiel. And he said, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Influence of godly men. Verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They shall only be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. I mean, God's going to send judgment, friend. He don't miss nothing. Verse 18, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. One more scripture in the book of James, chapter 5, 10 through 11. We're talking about the influence of godly men. These men made an impact in their generation. They made a great impact on the lives they lived. Noah, Daniel, Job. And so God puts it in his word, records them. James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Read about this man again. And just a moment to get there to the book of James. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Or the end result, he's saying it's going to be a good end. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you know that I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Hallelujah. What some encouraging words. Praise God. You are mighty men today here in the house of the Lord. Don't never think yourself a weak man or a man without potential. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, friend, all power is available from God today to help us to live overcoming, victorious, influential lives. You can't hide this light. No man lights a candle, puts a bushel over, covers it up. He takes the cover off and all that's in the house can see. And I'll promise you, wherever you go, if you are rejoicing in the power of the Holy Ghost and you start your day out with him, yes. Praise God. I believe we can be like Moses. He went up the mount, spent many days with God. 40 days, he came back, his face shone. They had to veil his face because there was such a glow of the glory of God. I believe it's the same in our life today. I'm convinced that in the life of every Holy Ghost-filled man, the light is there to glow and to shine. Praise the Lord. People may ask you, what's different about you? I'm glad I got an answer for them. Hallelujah. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can have the same experience. I don't mind telling folks, I'm happy about this Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It changed my life. I was not raised in church. We did not have a church background. Mom, Dad never took us. 12 years old, I went to a camp meeting, and my sister married a man in church. First when our family received the Holy Ghost, and I spent a summer there and received the Holy Ghost in that camp meeting. My life has never been the same. I remember praying, God, if this Holy Ghost is real, I saw people shouting and dancing and heard them speak with tongues and rejoicing. About 300 folks probably there at that camp meeting then on 2nd Buckeye Street in Little Rock, Arkansas. Bishop A.O. Holmes was pastoring, and it was a powerful time. I said, God, I want that. Can I have that? And about 2:30 in the morning, he filled me. I wasn't going to leave without it. He was ready. It just took a while to get me ready. I had to learn to yield to what I felt. I felt the presence of God the whole service. I just didn't know how to yield and just give myself and allow myself, allow God to take over. Us men want to be in control. That's our nature. That's just our nature. Going to Ephesians chapter 5. Godly manhood, the influence of godly manhood. This last several years, there's been such a movement by the feminists to put pressure on men. And that's why we have an identity crisis in our world today. And say there's no difference between man and woman, but the stubborn facts of biology remain the same. They're unchangeable. There's a definite difference. They've done studies on the difference between men and women. And when they ended their study, I read this, I wrote this, made a note of this, after they'd done all their study, they said there's really no difference between, I mean, there is a major difference between the two. Praise God, their brains are wired differently. And, how they're just different. That's what they said. Well, they're just different. Well, God made it so. Amen. Made he male and female, made he them. Praise God. I'm thankful to be born a man. Praise God. I'm sure a lady feel the same way about herself, but hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. You see it on playgrounds at school. You see it, boys and girls are different. A boy gets hurt, they just drag him off the field and get somebody to replace him. Don't want to stop what's going on. But a girl gets hurt, everybody gathers around and just comforts her. And oh my, they're just different. And God made us that way. And thank God he did. Hallelujah. But I want to talk about the role today that men have in our society with all the pressure that we have to deal with in our world around us today. And there's enough scripture, I think, that'll help us. The Bible says in Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. We live in a society where there's a lot of single parent homes. And that's not the ideal plan that God has for man, but it's a fact in our society. And it's affected a lot of our young men and young ladies. And you see it in society and culture, what they do and how they reach out for somebody to love them or be a role model for them or be a mentor for them. I was blessed to have good men in my life. And a little town of Wales where I was originally from had one small church. It was a oneness church at least, but nothing else was taught much. And so I didn't grow a whole lot. But each summer I'd go back to Little Rock and stay with my sister, and I gleaned a lot. And I saw the difference. And I chose to just be careful about men that I chose to be my mentor. And I watched praying men. I listened to them pray. I watched preachers, how they conducted themselves, and older saints and younger saints. And I wanted to pattern my life after many of them that I saw. And so it is still today. We all do the same. Iron still sharpens iron. Praise God. We need good mentors in our life. Hallelujah. So this influence that we're going to have, God's going to help everybody grow, mature, and try to piece things back together if he can. Put things back together. Hallelujah. If at all possible, it's his will. Amen. Every child needs a family. A church is a family. The household of God, the household of faith. The Bible talks about us being a family, and we are. You get encouragement from one another, get strength from one another. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see where we can start at. It's all good today. Let me start in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You ever heard the old adage, like father, like son? Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Even though my dad wasn't raised in church, or he didn't even have the Holy Ghost, and there was, and when he baptized, we later did get him baptized, but he was a good, honest man. And so I watched as a young boy, he went to a store one day, bought a truckload of lumber without signing the first piece of paper. A man in our town had a sawmill and a lumber mill, and my daddy worked there before for him, and he's sitting on the front porch of this old store, and my dad said, I need some lumber. My dad became disabled, and we had to move a little three-room house, five of us kids and two parents, and it was pretty tight living, so he wanted to add on to it. He had some acreage he bought when he was a young man, and he said, when I cut my timber, I'll come pay you with this lumber. Mr. Rube Sessions looked at him and said, All right. He got a little piece of 2x4 block, wrote down the lumber. He said, here, young man, take this back there to Mr. Claude Stewart. He'll deliver the lumber. My dad shook hands. That was it. I was impressed. I said, I was about 9 years old. I said, that man trusts my dad. I trusted him too. But he built the room, sold the lumber, paid him off. And you can't do business like it hardly no more, I don't guess. Old collateral and sign your life away. But it was different back then. We didn't lock our cars. We didn't lock the house. We didn't lock anything. And we felt safe walking the streets and just didn't hear about no trouble. I didn't know what it was about, even perversion. I didn't know what it even was. Everybody was normal in my neighborhood. Thank you, Lord, for that. But you, as a child, you start mentoring your life after people. And so I'm glad to say I'm proud of my dad. He's dead and gone now 25 years ago. But anyway, he was a great influence in my life. And finally, the day came, we got to baptize him in Jesus' name. And he received the Holy Ghost out in the woods from his house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are to pattern ourselves as followers of God. We walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us for an offering, sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So Jesus, number one, is our greatest example, our mentor. We sang the old song, to be like Jesus. On earth I long just to be like him, all through life's journey. That's our goal today. He is our mentor. He was a man of men. Men followed him. He was a very influential man as he walked this earth because he was honest and truthful and loved and saw right into people's lives and their hearts and ministered to needs. Praise God. And I'm glad Hebrews 13:8 lets us know that he's still the same today. Praise God. And if he was, he still is. I'm he which was, which is to come. If he was, he still is. Praise the Lord. I believe he's a God of miracles today. Healing miracles. Amen. Deliverance miracles. Financial miracles. Yes. I have time maybe in the morning. I'll share with you some of the miracles that God's done at our home church. And just don't want to encourage your faith. But let me get back in this lesson today. Hallelujah. First thing, a point I want to make is this. And we don't have to come to church to be told this. But men, I want to make this statement today, and I believe it's very, very important. Love your family. Hallelujah. Godly, influential men. Love your family. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's skip down the chapter a little bit. Jesus was a man of love. True love, many waters cannot quench love. It is the most powerful influence in the world. Love. There's nothing more powerful. It is a verb, an action verb. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but I want to start in verse 25. This is mentioned to us here in verse 25, verse 30, 28 and 33. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Then he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? He gave himself for it. Sacrificial offering of love. He gave himself for it. There's a lot of pressure put on us to provide for our families today. It's a challenge for every man. A lot of financial pressures and just job pressures and life itself and trying to take care of a home and a family. But God will help us. God will help us. God will help us. It's a sacrificial love. And this is a primarily verb. Praise God. Love is not something you feel. Love is something that you do. Even love in Jesus, in worship, it's a response. By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto him and to his name. So you're putting something in action. You're not just saying, well, he can read my mind. He'd like to hear what's on your mind. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Psalms 150, Psalms so full of praise. David was a man of praise. Praise God. The tribe of Judah, even the tribe of praise. It wasn't something that David just made himself do. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved to write songs of praise about his God. And the psalmist, there's beautiful songs that he's written about them because it was love that flowed from the heart of David. And God saw that. Praise God. You know the story of 1 Samuel 17 where he said, Goliath hollered out, send me a man. And here comes a young boy. He must have been in his teens. Well, he disdained David. I mean, where's your men at? Are you going to send somebody out here like am I a dog that you're sending a little boy with a stick? Going to whip me on the ankle? The Bible said he cursed David, cursed him by his gods. But that was the challenge, send me a man. I'm telling you, friend, the world is still crying the same today. Send us men. We're hurting for good men in our society. I don't know about you, but I intend to be a man strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and I'm going to put on the whole armor. You dress yourself with it. Praise God, because it does work. You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with that shield of faith. You can take the helmet of salvation. You can protect your mind from being depressed and oppressed and tormented in your mind. Hallelujah. Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We walk in the Spirit. The Word of God gives us direction. Hallelujah. It tells us how to go, where to go, when to go. We can be led by the Spirit of God. God has given us everything we need to be good, strong men in our society today. It's all here. Hallelujah. In the church. Love your family. Praise God. Some men think, well, go get my slippers and you serve me. And you, when they talk about headship, we're talking about three kinds of ships here in a few minutes. Praise the Lord. It's important today what ship you're trying to, amen, dwell on and live on and do for your family. Hallelujah. But some men have that idea, especially men, worldly men that I've talked to on the job. Man, they talk about how they're the head of their house. They're the boss of their house. Well, I don't want to be boss of my home. I want to be a headship, a godly leader in my home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's cover some scripture. Praise the Lord. I get ahead of myself for a little bit. But they have this idea about you serve me, but sacrificial love is a giving kind of love. And I have not seen any woman yet that if she's treated with the right respect and honor and love from a man, if she's got any worth in her at all, she will respond and become the most kind, loving wife that a man could desire today. Hallelujah. Jesus took the initiative. Praise God. The Bible said here, and we say we love God because he first loved us. He took the initiative. He didn't wait on man to respond. While we were yet sinners, Christ came. He died. Hallelujah. He takes the initiative. He shows love to mankind. For God so loved that he gave. That's what John writes about him talking to Nicodemus. He's still talking to Nicodemus there. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. He's a sacrificial, loving, giving God. Hallelujah. It cost him everything. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. And I believe that's what the scripture means when it says perfect love casteth out fear. Our love is not always perfect, but God's love is perfect. And when you realize how much God loves you as a man, you don't have any fear. You can face tomorrow. Matter of fact, you can face everything the devil throws at you. I'm in good hands with God. He's my father. I'm his son. I'm in his family. I've been adopted into that royal family, royal priesthood, chosen generation. Praise God, a peculiar or unique people. Oh, hallelujah, we're God's family today. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Woe to them that offend one of these little ones of mine. He says it's better that a millstone be tied about their neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones of mine. I have watched God work many, many times in my life. I just backed up and was amazed how God worked. God did it. I've had bad neighbors. I've had bad employees that were challenged to work with. And I watched God take care of every situation. I just kept praying and walking with God. Hallelujah. Had time, I'd give you some details. I'm amazed. That's all I can say. I'm just amazed at God's timing. And the battle is still the Lord's. It's still the Lord's. Oh, you got to let him work with it too. Give it to him. But we are to love our family as Christ loved the church. It says to love, amen, your family or your wife as you love your own bodies. None of us going to beat up on our body or mistreat our body. We're going to take care of ourselves. As a general rule, well, we should love yourself. You know, Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can't love yourself, you'll have a hard time loving anybody else. You got to have some self-respect and self-worth. Say, but my past, it don't matter. It's one of the blood. It's washed. You're a new creature. You're a new man. You're new in Christ Jesus. And it's go forward. It's live in victory. Praise God. It's enjoy the victory that Jesus has given us today. Somebody says, well, I know what you used to do and I know how you used to live. You can say, but thank the Lord, I'm not the same man I used to be because of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You got a testimony today. The world may not forget, but I'm telling you, God does. Praise the Lord. So he said, he nourisheth it and cherisheth it and he takes care of it. That's the way God wants us to love our family. Nourish, cherish, take care. What an awesome privilege God's given us men. Hallelujah. I'm trying to instruct even, I've got 7 grandchildren, and when they come to our home, we pray. We talk about Bible. We read Bible stories. I didn't get that growing up. But they'll say, Papa, read us a story. All right. Sometimes I just tell them stories, old silly stories. But they'll call me on the phone. Read us, tell us a story. Just that one-on-one time. Praise God. If I can bring Jesus in the picture, I'll do it every time. I remind them all the time. Praise God. You're perfect just like you are. Jesus made you just the way you are. Love yourself. Praise God. Serve the Lord. Live for Jesus. Hallelujah. And they're so impressionable when they're young. Peter said it this way. He said, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, praise God, I could just say, put dads in there. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Hallelujah. First of all, Peter said, dwell with them according to knowledge. This means there's got to be some comprehension on our part. You got to watch your children, watch your wife, watch your family, and comprehend what's going on in their life and how they react to things, so we'll know how to give them instruction. We can't come home and just sit back in the easy chair and you might give me a glass of tea. And it's good to unwind a little bit, but I want to be very attentive. Praise God. I believe Jesus is attentive. He said, while they yet call, I will answer. My ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. My arm's not short that it cannot reach and save. Praise God. He said, while they're yet calling, I'm going to hear. I've got an answer for them. I believe he's available 24 hours a day. It's important. It's important. Women are social people. Men go to town, buy what they want to buy, and walk in the store and walk out. Women socialize. They like to look at everything. That's just them. But it takes a lot of attention for them. Sometimes they just want to listen to ear. And I had to train myself. I didn't get married. I was 20, and I spent quite a bit of time really by myself. I was kind of a loner. I worked a whole lot. And I started early in life because dad's disabled. But it paid good dividends. And I listened to my dad, buy some land, buy a home. When I was 18, I bought me a house, some land. When I got married, I had a house and land. Praise God. I'm glad I listened to him. But it took a lot of hard work. But anyway, just being a loner, I wasn't used to being just sitting around listening to somebody talk. And I found out when I got married, my wife enjoyed talking. And sometimes subjects that I wasn't that interested in. But her day was this way. And, you know, oh, that's what he says. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You've got to get some comprehension on the part of a godly man today. We got to do our best to understand our household and people that we're around, neighbors that we're around. I've learned, pastoring these years, sometimes it's just people want to know what to do, and I just let them answer their own questions because most of the time they already know what they're going to do. Yes. They just kind of run by me, what do you think about it? I said, well, how do you feel? Yes. What do you think's best? Yes. Well, this is what I said, well, that's not a good idea to me. Praise the Lord. Most of the time, that's just us men. We pretty well know what we want as a general rule, but I thank God for pastoral counsel. I don't use the word counsel. An attorney told me one time, I'm not a licensed counselor. He said, if you're ever in court, pastor, he said, don't use the word counsel if you're not a licensed counselor. He said, you say pastoral advice. I said, I'll remember that. He said, they'll chew you up on that word counsel if you're not a licensed counselor. Just say you gave pastoral advice. So I still like to give pastoral advice. And we've got men in our church that bring things to me, and I'm glad to listen. And I watch their lives, and I've saw God bless them and prosper them, and some are in business for themselves, and they've done very well. not because of me, but just to give them a little bit of insight sometimes, what to look for and how to react to the different situations and think I should or shouldn't. I say, well, you know, sometimes I tell them you should. Sometimes I say you shouldn't. Oh, I've had young people come to me and say, should I marry that? And I said, no. Some didn't listen. They come back later and say, oh, Pastor, wish I'd listened. You know, it's been a scenario over and over. But you dwell with them according to knowledge. You learn to, and every child is different. If you had 10 kids, it'd all be different. I've only got a boy and a girl, but they're both different. But if I'd had even more so, we've kept other young people in our home. We've kept foreign exchange students. We've had friends of theirs come and stay with us sometimes months at a time that didn't have no dad or mother or family. And they're all different, is all I can say. Everybody's just different. Everybody here today is different. None of us are exactly alike. Probably don't like the same things. God made us that way. He's a God of variety. So as many flowers and birds, and he made variety. God likes variety, and I'm glad he does. Praise the Lord. We're not clones or twins. I'm sure sometimes there are twins, you know, in life, but even they're different. Sometimes just that DNA does something that God put in there. So you have the same upbringing. I've got one baby brother. I call him baby brother. He was the youngest for our family, but we're totally different. He don't go to church. He don't serve God. Good man. And he said, brother, if I ever go to church in my life, he said, I'm coming to your church. I appreciate him saying that. He said, I work with all these other men. Said, they ain't got nothing. And he don't either, but amen, at least he knows the difference. He sees some Sunday folks, and Monday they're different. And so as a sinner man, he watches. Got to let your, Matthew 5:16 said, therefore let your light so shine before men that they will see your what? Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's that same family orientation. Praise God. We're light to men around us. I've had men come on the job and say, would you pray for me? Or I've had them come and say, are you a preacher or something? Because I'd walk off and they talked about things that wasn't good to hear. I just excuse myself. Later they'd come by and say, what, you're a preacher or something? I've had them come and apologize. Say, oh, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have said what I said. I said, well, it's God you got to answer to, you know, not me. But I'm saying the world knows the difference between light and darkness. This light can't be hid. It is a city on a hill. Praise God. It cannot be hid. Hallelujah. Then he says, give an honor. It means courtesy. Honoring our children, honoring our wives. When you pay attention to them, you give honor to them. Every member of our family. Praise God. Treat your family with courtesy. I read a psychologist wrote once, he said that a parent, if they could give 15 minutes of undivided attention to a child every day, that child would grow up very normal. I thought, 15 minutes? That ain't much at all. That's their study showed that. And some people I got to watching and talking to, they don't even give a child 15 minutes. They come in from school, the child's off doing something or involved in something, and the parent just, bedtime comes, they go to bed. And look what we've produced in our society today. Just 15 minutes. Courtesy. Honor. Let them know they're important. You're very important. We love you. I guess, and I'm still talking about the influence of godly men. It affects families. And if you've got a strong family, you'll have a strong church. You'll have a strong neighborhood. You'll have a strong city. This is where the devil is really attacked in our society. Men in our society. Oh, my, the pressure's put on us. But I'm glad the Holy Ghost, praise God, the pressure that's on the outside, thank God the Holy Ghost puts something on the inside that can stand the pressure. Hallelujah. You don't cave in or give up or give in. Amen. We're godly praying men. Hallelujah. He said, as being heirs together of the grace of life, we're to stand by each other no matter what comes or what goes. We're to stand by each other. Praise God. My children's never brought me any shame. I'm thankful for that. And I can't say they've, well, my daughter was out of church for a short time. And then my son never has bobbled. He's always done good. He's 46, and he's just a good spiritual man. My daughter, she's back in church and doing great. Hallelujah. Thank God. And leadership, she married a man that went in the military, and it was downhill from then. Raised in church, but somehow what the military done to him, but he went downhill. And after 13 years of marriage, she finally couldn't take it no more. And anyway, she's doing good today. Got her bachelor's degree and making her own living and doing good. Hallelujah. But it was a terrible few years there on mom and dad and the whole family. And he became an alcoholic. And I hate to see what it does to people, or it just destroys you. And he spent some time locked up and going to spend some more, looks like. Just won't leave it alone. The devil's a cruel taskmaster. But those are painful things in the family, but we stand behind and beside our children no matter what. Hallelujah. She told me one time she wasn't going to church. She said, Dad, I'll never go to a false church. I'm not going at all right now, but she said, if I ever come back to church, it'll be to what you've taught us. It's truth. It's right. And now she's in a good church. I'm not her pastor anymore, but she's doing good in a good church. Praise the Lord. She kept her word. But I thank God for the influence. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old and not depart from it. That is a precept, a principle. It's not a guarantee. Some people get discouraged. Well, I raised them right, and they should have never backslid, but that's a precept. What it means is when they get older, they can't do away with what you've taught and put on the inside of them. It'll never leave them. It's still there, whether they obey it or not. They'll never be happy in the world. They'll never be happy in any kind of sin. They know too much. You put godliness in them. And we pray like the prodigal, they'll come back home to the Father's house. Hog pen smell and all, but he was welcomed back. Praise the Lord. I'm glad Jesus put it in there for us. I believe that dad because he said he saw him afar off. I believe every day he went and looked. Down the lane, down the road, or across the fields or whatever, he was looking. He saw him afar off. Praise God. And the Bible said he ran to meet him. The man with Gadara, he ran and fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. And he came, and the Bible says Jesus delivered him. He ran toward Jesus, but in the story of the prodigal, the father ran. He ran and he ran. He ran to meet him. Thank God there's a good home to come back to. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the church must love backsliders. Yeah. Pray that they find what they, when they left, they find the same and they come back even better. Got to love them. Amen. Got to love them. Hog pen smell it all. I've got several in our assembly that went out in the world and they've come back and they're doing better than they've ever done. They've made up their mind. They got it settled in their heart. Praise God. The church has got to be that family that says we still love you, still care about you. When I see backsliders on the street, I do my best to go up and hug their neck and, man, we miss you and just praying for you. Hallelujah. Oh, I saw one a while back, didn't even recognize him. He dyed his hair and had on motorcycle gear and just had tattoos all over him. And he tried to avoid me. He done his best. I pinned him down. I caught him. I just hugged him. I said, man, I'm telling you, you need to come back to the house of God. And I could tell he held his head down. Whew. Ashamed. But I thought you left this for this. But the devil is so, he can blind the mind. And so much. I'm praying he comes back. We went by and knocked on his door and left him a card some weeks back. I'm not going to give up on him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we love our family. Number two is, is to lead your family. Look in verse 20 and 22 of chapter 5. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is lordship. And here in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to lead our family. I'm going to talk about lordship. I'm going to talk about two more ships beside this, but lordship. Both of these verses speak about the lordship of Jesus Christ. She submits under her husband because he's the head of the wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the head of Christ is God, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. It's lordship. It's headship. Praise God. And lordship. So in this context, you can't exercise our authority if we don't live under the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not hard for a woman to submit to a man that is submitted to Jesus Christ, because he will love her as Christ loved the church. He will honor her. He will cherish her. He will uphold her. Praise God. Women are weaker than men. And they need some strength in the house and stand as man. Honey, it'll be all right. Don't worry about it. We're going to work it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I left the job after many years with a telephone company. And our first day at home, my wife said, what are we going to do? We have no insurance. Your vacation is all these benefits. We don't have that anymore. I said, don't worry about it. That's my place. Praise God. And God has, the church grew and I had to do one or the other. So I decided to just become full-time pastor. And God has never failed us. It's been many years ago. I left in 1988, the phone company, and they treated me wonderful. I had a wonderful job. And God has never failed us. And she sees now, praise God. We got old enough to get on Medicare now, but she said, he's never failed us. She's went through several surgeries, major things, in her life. But God has not failed us one time. He's made a way. Hallelujah. We've been able to pay our bills and live. I still tell her once in a while, honey, don't worry about it. I know that's what you always say. Well, it's not your place, it's mine. Praise God. I want to lead our family. It's a Bible principle of lordship. Praise God. That is so important. And being submitted to the Lord. We just can't lead our families unless we're under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul even said to the ministry, he said, we're not lords over the flock. He said, we're ensamples to the flock. Be not lords over the flock, but an ensample. Hallelujah. An example to men to follow. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got to be partaker of the first fruits. If I ask our church to fast and pray, I got to fast and pray. Well, I don't say I have to, I want to, I desire to. And sometimes we'll do a collective fast together, the whole church. And I've never seen it fail that we don't get good results. We had a prayer revival a while back. We just come to church and prayed every evening for a certain time, whenever you could get there, and no pressure at all on anybody. But all that week, we was praying at the church every evening. The following Sunday, we had several new visitors. Praise God, we have some receive the Holy Ghost. I call it a prayer revival. It works. It works. Praise God. We get humble before God. He is the one that draws. He's the one that feels. He's the one that delivers. He just needs somebody that'll be a witness. Somebody that'll have a testimony. Somebody that will compel them to come. That's really all we can do is compel them to come. The highways, the byways, the hedges. Jesus said, go out and compel them to come. That the wedding could be furnished with guests. The halt, the maimed, the blind. People that can't sometimes give anything to the church. But oh, what God does when they become a child of his. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got successful young businessmen that have done good in life because they live for God. And they trusted God. And I told them, this is what you can do. And we bought and sold properties, and some of them have. And just, let me pass this on to you. An old gentleman told me many years ago, he said, let me tell you how to make money in life. He said, it's buying and selling. He said, now that you're working and laboring and sweating, you make money, yes. But he said, the best money you'll ever make is buying and selling. So I practiced that through the years. Everything I got's for sale. My wife don't like that, but praise the Lord. But God has blessed us. He blessed us. God did it. That's all I can say. He did it. We bought property in front of our home one time. A man had 300 head of hogs or better there. And I said, Lord, I'm going to get rid of this hog pen. I can't take it no more. The wind's out of the east. And it came up for sale for several months. And nobody would buy it because all they could see was the hog pen. I went to the attorney that owned it one day, and I made him an offer. And it was 112 acres of land, big, big, big investment for us. And I offered him a very cheap price. He said, sold. Hallelujah. We spent a week with the dozer cleaning up that place and divided up, put in a subdivision, and took 12 years to sell it. But God blessed us. God helped us. I just got an unction from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Praise God. I've taught our men the same. It still works. Buy cheap, sell high. Yeah. Yes. So I just don't have the knack for that. I'm not a salesman either, but demand is one thing. And you just got to buy something that there's a demand for. Hallelujah. And so we bought some older homes and fixed them up and sold them, and through the years. And anyway, God's been good to us. He's been good to us, and he'll be good to you. And the potential is still there. Now land's like buying gold, but gold price is worth a lot too. So, you know, it just is what it is. But there's still a demand for places to live. And so maybe something used, and I'll just pass it on to you. Lead our family. Lordship. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Next ship I want to talk about is partnership. Partnership. Was it Benjamin Franklin that said we must all hang together or we'll hang separately? Yeah. Amen. Partnership. Partnership. Lordship, now partnership. Praise God. It's so important. You're partners together in this grace of life. You and your wife's a team. Amen. You and your children's a team. You and your church brother's a team. Praise God. We all work together for the benefit to help serve one another. Pray you one for another. It's powerful. Praise God. If you see a brother struggling, you don't have to go to him and say, what's your problem? Go to him and say, look, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Yeah, well, sometimes it could just be that boost. Yeah. Or the Lord may give you a scripture to give them. Yeah. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Sometimes that can happen. God can just give you the right word at the right time to say to that individual. And it can change the whole atmosphere of things, the whole outlook of things. Praise God. So, well, I don't have a lot. Well, neither did the widow of Zarephath for one, but also the prophet's wife that he died and she owed a big debt and they was going to take her boys. All I've got is a bottle of oil in the house. That's it. The other lady just had a little bit of meal and oil and eat it and die. If God can multiply fish and bread, and he can, he can still do the same. What little you have, what do you have in your house? God, here it is in your hands. Multiply it. Praise God. Make the way. God still is. Because he was, he still is. Hallelujah. He still is. Anybody believe that today? Amen. Believe God's still able to do exceeding and abundant above all you could ask or think? According to the power that works in us? Our perspective, that's what faith is all about. It is a substance of things hoped for. Hope, praise God, is a real futuristic outlook. Amen. That what you're believing for, you've got hope that it's going to come to pass. It'll become a reality in your life. Abraham went out not knowing whithersoever he went, but he just believed God because God said go. Hallelujah. I did look on a map before I came up here. Praise the Lord. But Abraham didn't have no map, but he had no roads either. I mean, per se, might have been trails in the desert, but God just said go. But he said, wherever you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. I still believe it's the will of God to bless his men, his church, his people. Praise God. It's still his, Deuteronomy chapter 28, to make you the head and not the tail, to make you the lender, not the borrower. It took me several years to get to that place where I was really kind of debt-free, but you always owe somebody. But I didn't have to put up collateral anymore. Got that line of credit, and I used that line of credit, and used it very scarcely. 1.25 over prime. It's something they give people sometimes when your credit's good at the bank, and it took a long time to get there, but it's still good. Hallelujah! We got the building our church, and the banker kept coming out. Y'all need some money? I said, no, sir, not yet. Finally, it was pretty well complete, and he came out and he said, I can't believe this. He said, you didn't borrow no money. I said, well, we didn't have to. Finally, we did. We borrowed for the parking lot and paved it and paid it off that next year. Praise God. He just was astounded. He said, I can't believe it. I said, it's called the goodness of God and volunteer help. Men that are willing to work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's if you're willing to work, there's got to be a willing mind. God will bless those that work. Neither should he eat. He don't provide for his household. He's a lazy man. The Bible said, neither should he eat. God designed us to work. Adam, work in the garden, take care of the garden. He gave him something to do. He didn't just sit around, but now outside the garden, he really had to work. It didn't come quite as easy, and it's still that way today. But thank God he provides. Amen. Hallelujah. A partnership between husband, wife, family. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read a definition. A man wrote this. I thought it was good, so I just wrote it down. It talked about a men that are successful. It said the man is active, articulate, energetic, and really successful in his work. Hallelujah. But if he is inactive or inarticulate or lethargic and withdrawn at home, gives a silent treatment to his wife, he's doomed for failure. You can't withdraw in your little shell and just let the world go on by. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes, we are responsible. How many shoulders do we rub against during the day? People that we might could witness to. But sometimes we get too involved with ourselves. What's going on? And I guess you just have to become a people person. I believe Jesus was. Everywhere he went, crowds followed him. He was a people person. You watch people today that are successful in life, and they're very open and just talkative and just seem like they're always friendly. I believe it's a good part of the church, joy, peace, love. We got joy of the Holy Ghost, love and kindness and gentleness and meekness, fruit of the Spirit, faith, goodness. Praise God. We can have it on our tree, and it's very attractive. It attracts folks today. Against such, there's no law. God help us as men today. It ain't weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's letting the Lord control, be in control, and being strong and standing, having done all to stand. Stand ye therefore. Quit you like men, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Praise God. We can be strong in our day in which we live. Hallelujah. And we're partners together. Oh, we're partners together. It's a partnership. Look at 5 and 23. God did not want us to have only one mother or only one father. He wanted us to have a partnership. Praise God. Need a mom and dad in the home for children today. Amen. I've watched my son-in-law not have anything to do with his kids, and they've gotten older. They've drawn away from him because he hasn't been a dad to them. He loved alcohol more than them, and that's repeated over and over and over in society. It's a sad thing, but I've took my grandson under my wing and tried to be his mentor, as it were, all my grandsons, actually. And so God has been good. I've got three of them, and when they come around, we fish together, we hunt together, we do whatever together. Praise God. I want to know we're partners together. Praise God. Involved. Whatever's going on in my life, I want to share with them. Hallelujah. The third ship I want to talk about here is headship. Amen. It's a lordship, it's a partnership, and headship. Praise God. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, verse 23, and the Savior of the body. Notice he doesn't say he's head over the wife. It's not dictatorship. He ain't the head tater. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the head of the wife. I was quoted this part a while ago, but 1 Timothy 5 and 8. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We are responsible to protect and provide for our family. Hallelujah. We first got married, I had to learn to manage better. I was already paying for a home and a new car and things. And so there came a time it got pretty tight. And so I took on a second job. For 3.5 years, I worked two jobs. And people would say at church sometime, y'all come out and have lunch with us, or let's go out and eat together. I'd say, thank you, but we didn't even spend money for that. I mean, we budgeted everything for 3.5 years. And I learned some valuable, valuable lessons about management. Hallelujah. I thought I knew a lot about it when I first got married, but I learned through life. I was glad when 3.5 years was over. The day came, I quit that side job. But I done it to provide for my family. My wife never had to work. She did some, but she didn't have to work when we first got married. But once we had children, I wanted her to be keeper of the home. I want our children to have a mom at home. And we just done whatever necessary to make sure she could stay home. Everybody may not believe that philosophy, but I'm talking about here again a headship leader in the home, to lead the home, provide for the home, take care of everything in the home. Praise God. And so God bless parents that provide for their families. It's a struggle nowadays. It's a challenge nowadays. It costs a lot to live. But I found that still serving God, he is still a way maker. The raise came at the right time, or something God just provided at the right time. Made a way for us when there seemed to be no way. My wife, one time, she went to a car dealership, looked at this nice Buick, and she told me about it. We stopped by and looked at it, and man, it was just a beautiful car. So I'd love to have it, but we can't afford it. That's out of our budget, honey. One day I was at work, she drove up in that car. I said, "What are you doing driving this car?" She said, "Well, I want to bring it, show it to you." And I said, "I told you, we can't buy this car. We can't afford it." She said, "Yes, we can." I said, "No, we can't." She said, "Yes, we can." She said, "Here's the for sale, or the bill of sale right here. It's paid for. $8,300. A lady friend of ours I knew nothing about, but she somehow, my wife was talking about it, and she found out about it. She went and bought that car and gave it to us. I would have never dreamed, I would have never believed in my life that that would happen, but it did. But she said, "I prayed about this car, and we needed a better car, and drove it for many years." And so God will do things that will astound you. I hadn't had it happen again, but I'll never forget that time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our God's a good God. He'll give you sometimes the desires of your heart if you just walk with him. He may not give you every desire because it may not be good for you, but praise the Lord. When it's good for you, God will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly before him. He will withhold no good thing. This has been an exciting life living for the Lord. It's still exciting. I expect things from God all the time. It just amazes me. Hallelujah. What God does and how he does it. Praise God. We'll love our family, lead our family. Oh, my. Headship. Being the head of the house does not mean you're boss of the house. It means you're the example of leadership. You love her as Christ loved the church. We're responsible for our family as headship. And we can't fill them with the wrong things that bring sin into the house. My wife and I talked about it. We first married years ago. I grew up with television in my home. She had it in her home. And as we got married, and I hadn't even heard it taught on a whole lot back then. Little church I went to, they just didn't teach much on holiness. But we made up our minds there would be no TV in our home. And it's never been there. Our children grew up without it. People say, "Well, your children are missing out." I'd say, "Well, what are they missing out on? Tell me one thing they're missing." Yeah. I've never got a good answer yet. Yeah. Because they were normal children. Yeah. We spent family time together. That is a waster of time. And it indoctrinates. It's the only vision some people have, right? That television. That's the only vision they get in life. And it's a bad vision. Nothing good. Not enough good on to ever think about having one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hope you feel the same way as I do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Your kids ain't missing out on nothing. But you can't bring anything in the house that's unwholesome. It's going to come back and haunt you. When they went into the Canaan's land, the Lord told them, do nothing that the Canaanites do, basically. I went to Jerusalem some years back and started to kneel by the Wailing Wall, and a big old Jewish hand grabbed me by the shoulder, and he just almost picked me up off the ground. He said, "You do nothing like the Muslims," because they kneel on their knees and pray. I thought it was just a respectful thing to do, and I quoted to him Deuteronomy 6 and 4 and gave him a big smile, and I stood up and prayed. He gave me a thumbs up. He meant business. You wouldn't go kneel like them Muslims. Praise God. Well, I'm glad for men like that. I sure wasn't going to argue with him at all. And a hand that strong could just kind of do this and pick you up. He's much of a man. I can tell you that. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're responsible for our children go. We're responsible for what they do. We're responsible for the priorities in their lives. And this brings us right down to even pastoral. I'm responsible. There are no holiness churches. There's holiness preachers. Praise God. There's holiness preachers. God bless your man of God, and I love him and appreciate him today because I know he has a good stand, amen, for things that are holy unto God. You're blessed people. You're blessed men. You've got quality leadership. He's a builder. Praise God. He knows a lot about building, and that means he can do good building a church, spiritually and, amen, physically. Praise God. It's a good combination. You're very blessed today. Oh, we're responsible as men to be in leadership. Not there'll be a bitter harvest someday. If we don't lead our children, lead our families, lead our wives, we help our wives to be, because they're the weaker vessel. And you can be encouragement to your wife. when she gets down and things bother her that wouldn't bother us as men, we're just stronger as a general rule. She's the weaker vessel. Sometimes she's got to have that strong arm to lean on. Your kids look to dad. Saints look to pastors. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are we going to do about it, Pastor? Let me pray. If I don't have an answer, I'm going to go pray about it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Lord will give us an answer. Or we'll find a solution. He's the problem solver. I'm not. He is. And you can take every problem to him and he will work it out. We've had some unusual things to deal with during the years in church. But God has brought us this far and he's never left us and he'll carry us all the way. Praise the Lord. I've watched God work problems out in the church in such a beautiful way. We've had people come and go. I never asked nobody to leave. God just worked it out. And it's a sad day when people leave and nobody asks where they're at. That's a sad day to me. Somebody's life. But it's happened before. And so God just purged. And amen. I can't argue with God. I've cried over everybody that's ever left. But sometimes it's just God. He purges the branch. And amen. If it don't produce, he just purges that branch. And to have a healthy tree. Hallelujah. Healthy church. Praise God. One more thing today. Love our families. Lead our families. I want to use this. Lift our family. Lift our family. Verse 25 through 27. I guess I'm not just teaching just on marriage today, but strong families make strong churches. Amen. Praise God. In strong cities, strong communities. Our leadership we have in Washington today, I'm glad at least he speaks up for the family. It speaks against, amen, abortion. Speaks against all this confusion about gender. And he just makes it plain. And he talks about God at least. I pray for the man. The Bible teaches us too. He even talks about Jesus Christ and talks about, I heard his speech on the radio, how when he got shot, how he said God saved him. I don't know if we had a president say that in all the years of my life. Amen. Praise God. And he's for churches. He's for freedom of religion and truth. We don't have to worry about, amen, somebody wanting to close these doors as long as he's in there. Everything rises on leadership. Whether it's spiritual or secular, everything rises on leadership. If you got good leadership, you're going to go somewhere. Praise God. We got to be strong men, lead our families, have great influence. So the Bible says that as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Watch this. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it may be holy and without blemish. Man, that's the way we're to lift our family. Hallelujah. That's the way we're to lift our family. Sanctify it. Amen. Cleanse it. Washing of the word. We can nurture. I'm going to go down to chapter 6 and close here a little bit more about the way we're to nurture and lead our children, our family. And so you help a child grow in his gifts. I didn't try to live my life through my children. I had a nephew that coached little T-ball one time, and he's in the church today, thank the Lord. But he was just telling about the episode. He said, I'm out there. And he said, parents are angry because of calls on a little T-ball. And he said, they were shouting and cussing. One came out going to whip me because he felt like I didn't let his little boy play. He said, I throwed everything down. He said, I quit. He said, they try to live their life through their children. Yes. And the poor little child, he's embarrassed. He's heads down. Somebody's a cussing and carrying on. And I thought, oh, and I see it over and over. People get their kids involved in sports and all kind of things of the world and try to promote that. Right. My boy was 6'2" and he weighed 180 pounds. So in the early years of school, he was a big boy. And they begged me, make a football player out of him. The coaches, oh, man, we need him. I said, no, sir. No, sir. He's not ever be involved in sports. You can just write that off. So I got him involved in music lessons. Praise, and he learned to play the sax, the trump, the organ, the guitars, the bass. It's whatever he picked up. He just learned to play it. He spent hours at church by himself with recordings and playing with them. And so I'm telling you, and I'm proud of him, but I didn't try to push him into things. I wanted to give him good things in life that would make him a godly young man. And he had a good experience even as even now. He's been there about 10 years, 11 years, I guess. His wife died at 32 with cancer. He had two boys. And so he took a little vacation up in the Petagene Mountain area where I've got family up there. And a man called him from a plant, and he said, Paul, he's a junior. He said, what are you doing? Where are you at? He said, I'm on Petagene Mountain. He said, look to the south. There's a vapor trail going up. He said, are you interested in a job here? And I said, he called me and told me the story. Well, he said, I don't know. He said, what do y'all got to offer? He said, if you'll come to work for us, we'll give you 8 years seniority. We'll start you out at $80,000 a year. He called me and said, Dad, what do I do? I said, take that job. He was our organist and our chief musician. I said, I hate to lose you, but that's not just coincidence. That's God working in your life. And now he's helping in a church there in Guy, Arkansas, and great blessing to them. I miss him greatly, but I'm also happy for him. He's done went over the 100,000 mark now, and he doesn't have a college education, but he's just talented, and God has elevated him. God has blessed him. And so we grew up. He done everything I did. If it was carpentership or mechanics, or I got him involved. And so I said, you can do it. If anybody else can do it, you can do it. I told him that over and over and over. And so he's smarter than I am. He surpassed me. I took him flying in a plane years ago. I took a few hours, a few lessons. And he said, Dad, someday we'll get my license. I never did finish up. It was too expensive for raising a family. So I love it. Our airport fence, our back fence is airport fence. I love airplanes. Well, he called me one day. He said, I got my license, Dad. He bought him a plane, and he flies down, and we go places. And hallelujah. I'd have never dreamed it. I'd have never dreamed it years ago. But God will bless. God will bless your children and wants to bless your children. He wants them to be successful. Praise God. Lift up your family. Verse 4, Ephesians, nurture. The word is used here. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our lives growing up with our children were church and church and church and more church and more church. That sleep on the way home, we drove great distance sometime, but it makes all the difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so you train them in the ways of God. That's admonition. And they're led by the will of God. They realize that God is number one. He's first in our life. When he's first in your life, he'll become first in their life. And let God make them what he wants them to be. I never tried to call my son to preach. I'd love if he was. It'd been a highlight of my life. But I said, God, if this is your will, you're the one that calls. Praise God. I've seen some men called and they wouldn't call by God, and they become failures because they didn't have the heart. It wasn't really what they wanted to do in life, but they felt just, you know, responsible maybe to please somebody. I want God to do the calling always. It's his church. Praise the Lord. I just live and work for him. But bring them up in the nurture. As Solomon said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You give them a spiritual heritage, you teach them godliness or godlike character. It pays off. It pays good dividends. I tried to instill into my son never to start a fight, never to cause trouble. He did have to straighten a few things out at school. It happened to him. I said, now if they try to hurt you, you've got to take care of yourself. And so he did. And hallelujah. And I had to go to the school, and man, one boy stole his tennis shoes one day. And had him on wearing them and taunted my son about it. And so he let me know about it. I went to the principal and got his tennis shoes back. We threw them away, got him a new pair. And the next day, this boy walked up and hit my son in the back on some bleachers way up high. Just hit him hard in the back. And before he knew what happened, my son grabbed him and just threw him. And he went boom, 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 boom to the bottom. The coach happened to be looking. And that was the coach I talked about losing the tennis shoes. Paul said the coach just grinned and turned and walked off. You know, fair's fair. He never was a troublemaker. But I wanted to be a man and stand for what's right. Never let nobody push over on you. We are men. And I guess looking at David's life, he's a man that the Bible called him a man of war. He didn't necessarily start trouble, but when trouble came to him. He had to face it in Goliath. And you come to me with sword and spear and your shield and all this weaponry. But he said, I've got one thing going for me, the name of the Lord. Praise God, the Lord of hosts. And David said, he shall deliver you into my hands today. That's a lot to say for a young man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes you just got to make it that plain to folks. Yeah. Today, things are fixing to change. They're going to be different today. Mm-hmm. Amen. It won't go on any longer. We're going to make a change today. Yes, hallelujah. Lord bless you. I hope I've said something to encourage you in your walk with God today. But we can be men of influence like Daniel and the Hebrew boys and Shammah. And you start reading the mighty men of David and what they did. And those are just men like us. But they knew how to take a stand. It's always inspired me when Jonathan and his armor bearer said, if they say, come up unto us, let it be a sign from the Lord. For God can save by many or by few. Praise the Lord. And it was as a half acre where oxen plowed when they got through. The Bible said he went up slaying and the armor bearer behind him. Praise God. Two can put 10,000 to flight. One can put 1,000 to flight. Men, you're the majority when God's with you, always, in any situation, no matter what it is. I'll tell you one more story. Man, they gave me his job. I became the line truck driver because I had CDLs. And so he had pulled a truck out front and wrecked into a train. Next morning, I showed up work, and the supervisor said, as of today, you're the line driver, this truck. I said, oh, okay. That man hated me, literally hated me. And he'd done everything he could. He would say ugly things to me. I'd just smile, go on. One day, I was up a pole, and he was pulling up slack out of a cable. He jumped in that truck, and he took off fast. And, I mean, that pole just went to doing this, rocking. I almost lost my footing, spurs out. And my foreman saw him. I didn't say a word. I just come down the pole. My foreman went and got him and said, come go with me. And he never worked with our crew again. I said, God, you're an awesome God. Just God will take care of things for you. Hallelujah. And there were several instances that the man put me through, but I just prayed. I even tried to witness to him, tried to get him to come to church, serve God. But I'm just thankful we serve a good God, and there's not a sparrow that falls that he don't see. And whatever you face tomorrow or the day before it's over with, God's got his eye on you. He that keepeth Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. We're always on his mind. We're always in his heart. He loves the church. And I see I went over time when the ladies came to the door a while ago. But God bless you, men. The potential's here to fill this building up. Praise God. God will help take care of a bigger building if you need it or whatever the plan is of God. But souls is what's important, men. Compel men. Witness to men. Let your light shine. Talk to men. Try to get some common ground. Strike up a conversation. That opens the door a lot of times. What kind of work you do? That's what I ask. They may say so-and-so. I said, well, I've experienced that. And, you know, how do you like it? Just anything to open up a door. By and by, they're saying, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm trying to win you to the Lord. I'm a preacher. You interested in truth? Bible truth? Just be a people person. Say, well, that's not me. It can be. Boldness. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're not timid men. This day shall God deliver you. Lord bless you, men. Pastor Cowan, I love you and appreciate you. You are a blessed group of men. And I feel such strength in here. I'm telling you, y'all powerful men. Whew. We're going to have some good church tomorrow and tomorrow night. Thank you, Jesus. Brother here, I'll just say my say here. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Well, have you enjoyed this here today? Amen. Amen.